Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's our version of Real Radio. Yes, it is. Thank you for being with us. McNeil and Parkins on The Score.
Some people hate it.
That's okay.
If they hate it, Danny, then why do they listen?
I don't know. They listen longer.
Then why do they listen? They this is twisted.
Pig vomit.
I love that, man.
Oh, it's the best, man. It's the best. The legend. The legend himself.
You know, I met Kevin Matheny, who played, he didn't play, he was played by Paul Giamatti in Private Parts. He was briefly in town. He's dead now.
Yeah.
The real pig vomit, Kevin Matheny.
Howard killed him?
Someone needed to.
Yeah.
He was everything I expected him to be.
Really?
He was in town briefly at GN, and Charlie Tool time. Looking at his phone the entire time we sat at a Starbucks on Michigan Avenue.
What was the occasion?
I was between jobs.
You?
Who knew?
It's hard to imagine.
Yeah, who knew?
I like the line.
Want you to come in and show us some characters. Show you this, Kevin. Get out of my town.
By the way, that's a nice little Ford
Thank
pullover.
You. Part of the Ford robe.
The Ford robe.
Yeah, I spent some money on Ford products when I became a sales associate. Why wouldn't you? You got to look the part.
That's for sure. And so if you paid for the shirt, you got to still wear it.
Plus, Ford blue does wonders for my gorgeous baby blue eyes. Don't you think?
I think you look good.
Don't you think?
I think you look very good. I like what Connor said. Don't forget where you came from. we all have to come from somewhere.
Why do you think I wear it from time to time?
It's the humbling of a Dan McNeil. But no, it looks very good. I'm a little surprised, though, that you had to pay for the clothes yourself.
I wanted to.
Well, okay. But I mean, you know, you're selling Fords.
Yeah,
they,
there's some stuff they had, but
I see.
I wanted to get a little uptick on that.
Sure, yeah. If you're selling the F-150s, you gotta...
Can't get me out of bed for a silk screen.
There you go. You gotta wear the nice stuff. This guy. I know it's taking a lot to get you out of bed.
If it's not embroidered, I don't want it. The stuff they had was all done by a silkscreen company by one of the sales guys who was there. I didn't want to wear that. I wanted to wear Ford stuff.
You wanted to stand out.
It looks good. Yeah, I want to look good.
The real stuff. How many products did you move, by
the way? Not a lot. I think 24 units in 6 months. That's not a lot.
No.
That's not much. Me no likey real world. Meet you real world for 6 months. Want to spit it right out.
Yeah, the real job.
It's a tough racket.
It is a tough racket. Tanny's tried it. How long did you make it, Tanny?
On the floor one day.
What? When was this?
This was before I took over for Jason on the B&B back in 2011, 2012. I worked in the business development center and then, you know, went through the training. And then once I hit the floor, there was not an issue, but I was trying to sell a customer something. And they pulled all the new people off the floor and, you know, yelled at us about whatever and interrupted my potential sale. And I was like, I can't do this.
You
can't
walked.
Do it.
It's can't not do for it. Everybody. Can't do it. It's,
wow.
Yeah, it's a rough racket.
One day.
I got to tell you, I loved it.
Really?
I loved every day there. It was exciting.
I don't believe
it. It was. I was trying to learn a new trade at the age of 56, while daunting, very exciting. And when you find yourself making a little bit of progress and figuring a few things out, it gets exciting. The only thing that was awful about it is it didn't pay.
That's a bad thing.
There was no money in it.
Right, but part of it was
zero.
The interpersonal interactions.
I loved it. The sales staff, you know what? The first time you take a day off, I might invite my sales manager to co-host. Danny Allen from Webb Ford would be a hell of a co-host. He has many thoughts. He's an entertaining human being.
You're looking to replace me already?
No, I'm looking for you to finally think about taking a day off. We've been together for a week.
Yeah, I know. One whole week, and he already wants me out of here. And
all right, let's roll.
For another Danny. All right, well, here we have a present for you. Chuck Swirsky was on The Score last night for an hour.
Oh, goodness.
In studio. I haven't heard any of it. I don't know what happened. I was home by the time Lawrence got on the air, had plans, didn't check it out. But Tanny has done the Lord's work.
Great.
What'd you say? Rundown of today's show? Okay. We have Can't Do It at 3 o'clock today. We have Brent Musburger at 4:30. And I think that's it.
We'll talk about White Sox fans' expectations. We'll talk a little bit about the shift here at the Score at some point today as well.
That's exactly right. And how I don't think it makes me a Cub homer to say that I don't see a lot of holes in this particular Cubs team. So I'm looking for you to deflate me a little bit. Deflate the Cubs' excitement
a little bit. Yeah, if I feel I can, I will.
Yeah.
But I look at the Milwaukee Brewers as a team that is marginally improved, not radically improved.
Right.
The Cubs should win the division by 8 or 9 games.
And that would be a very comfortable season, but I want back to be in the juggernaut. I want to make a run at 100 games or 100 wins. And obviously, to be a dynasty, you need multiple championships. You need multiple pelts on the wall. And with this starting rotation and how many young position players they have in their athletic prime and healthy at the start of the year, I don't see a lot of flaws in this team. And people could say, well, the bullpen. Yeah, there's questions on the bullpen for every team, and they've got a lot of potential answers and plenty of resources that if they need to make an addition to the bullpen in the middle of the season, I have every faith in the world that they're going to be able to do it. So I'm fairly optimistic about the Northside Club, but I'm very interested in the attention of the Southside Club. But I want to hear Chuck Swirsky from the Night Show. So now we can do that, Tanny? All right, beautiful. Give Max some of Swirsk.
What does Chuck Swirsky need from a play-by-play standpoint? What do you need before you turn the microphone on, before the balls start to bounce, to feel comfortable in your own skin before you crack the mic?
Wow.
That's a good question. Well, I have a routine. And my routine, I listen to two songs that get me fired up. I'm a Hendrix guy. I grew up in Seattle. I love Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix died, 26, 27
27.
Years
ago. It's like Janis Joplin, Kurt Cobain.
Yep, Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison.
And Along the Watchtower is my favorite Hendrix song. And Hendrix had a lot of great songs. And I grew up as in elementary school, junior high, and high school with Nancy Wilson from Heart. I mean, we would walk to school together. I mean, it was like great. And then she went off and recorded with her sister Anne in Vancouver, British Columbia on Mushroom Records. And then all of a sudden, CBS and Epic bought their rights and they went on to like whatever. I mean, they're superstars. They're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. But I loved Hendrix. So I listened to Along the Watchtower and then Elton John, I'm Still Standing.
So those two songs,
yes.
How early before the game do those two songs go into your headphones?
I listen to both of them right before I take the first bus. First bus usually leaves about an hour and a half, hour 45 before the tip. I'm always on the first bus, and right before I listen to those two songs.
How do you think growing up listening to Jimi Hendrix changed you?
Well, because Jimi Hendrix, I mean, think about this. I mean, what he did with the guitar, to me, has never been duplicated, ever.
Did it inspire you at all to maybe pick up a guitar? Or?
No, because you know what, Lawrence? When I look at videos of Jimi Hendrix and I hear his music daily, I'm thinking like this guy never, ever mailed it in, ever. And I don't want to mail it in. I've never mailed it in anything. And he was an inspiration.
An inspiration all along the Watchtower for the Swirsk. That's a bit. I knew that Jimmy was from Seattle. I knew that Chuck was from Seattle. I didn't know Chuck grew up a Jimi Hendrix fan. That's a bit of a surprise to me, to be on Woodstock getting a mention here. Crosstown traffic and Hey Joe, purple haze inside my brain. A Stratocaster back in 66 or 67. In the 206 area code of Seattle, Washington, the Emerald City. There was me walking to school with Nancy Wilson, Ann Wilson. No matter how many times I tried, I could not understand the magic map. Barracuda.
I ate, lived, and breathed DePaul basketball. I was on campus when they would make recruiting visits. We would do a tape. So when a guy would come in, a young man, we would put together a game-winning shot against Notre Dame or Marquette, and I would do a voiceover, like fictitious play-by-play, where like Dallas Comegys with the ball, 5 seconds to Comegys, fakes left, 18-footer, bam! slam to Paul Wentz beating Notre Dame at a Comet Chiefs game winner. I mean, we would do all these things.
What a great interview. Check it out at 670thescore.com. That's amazing.
I was his caddy in 1985. It was my privilege to be an intern for Chuck Swirsky at WGN Radio. My first gig right out of college, an intern producer.
Wow.
And it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot from Chuck. He was a privilege to work with him. He was a consummate professional. I never knew he was a Hendrix fan. We could have bonded over that.
I want to know more about this time of Danny Mac as the intern.
When I was putting blankets around guys and making sure they were warm at night and had chicken soup when they were sick.
Oh, I still know Yurko's Kreplach order and everything, so I want to know my experience versus your experience in that. And the Bears are making some national news with Mitch Trubisky's optimism. They're on the worldwide leader, the television station here in studio.
You know, Ad Wilson, Daddy, Ad Wilson has spent too much time at Lou Malnati's. A little too much pizza and pasta.
That impression is brought to you by Firestone Complete Auto Care.
It's called fresh fruit.
Firestone Complete Auto Care. Keeping cars running newer, longer. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. We're McNeil, Parkinson, Chuck on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Chuck Swirsky last night with Lawrence Holmes in studio for the 7 o'clock hour. Dan McNeil mentioned he was Swirsk's intern back in 1985. You said that audio brought to you by your neighborhood Ace. Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks. With Ace's extra mile promise, get everything you need to paint in one trip or deliveries free. Visit acehardware.com for details. So what did you learn from Chuck Swirsky?
Chuck was awesome. What I took out of there more than anything, never, ever assume anything about a story or something developing in a sporting event within a franchise. Don't ever assume.
Makes sense.
Don't assume anything.
What was the impetus for
he
that?
He did a half-hour talk show, 6:30 to 7 weeknights.
Okay.
That was my job, to produce 30 minutes. Sports Central was the name of the show.
Sure.
He also did pre, half, and post for Bears games. I was responsible for producing those shows. Now, in 1985, before the internet and before cell phones, that meant talking on the phone right before halftime about events around the league. He got his scores from around the league over the phone from me because I was back at the studio on West Bradley Place, up by where GNTV still is. And I was checking a service out of Philadelphia, the first service to give us electronic scores, sports ticker, God bless you.
Wow.
Yeah, so we go, Danny, I'm going out at about 7. I need the scores from around the league. Chuck, the Rams are all over the Eagles, 28-7. Henry Ellard's got a pair of touchdowns. What college did he go to? Fresno State, I'd say. So, you know, that's how we communicated. He would fill out his halftime scoreboard based on what I was telling him following on a wire. It was like the 30. You think about it now, this is 33 years ago. When I talk about it, it feels like this is how radio should have worked in the 30s.
It's kind of like my experience with Salisbury and Rosenblum, because he wasn't ever living in Chicago or watching games. So my job was to call him when he was in Bristol or in Dallas or wherever doing the show on ISDN and tell him about what had happened in the night before. So, yeah, it's my first time being a host in Chicago, but really some of Salisbury's bad takes were just mine regurgitated.
That's unfortunate.
As an intern.
Did he ever text you a picture of anything fun?
He did not.
No.
He told some stories, but he was always a good guy to me.
I was wrong about him. I thought he was going to be fabulous. I was wrong. I thought Sean Salisbury was going to be a star in sports radio.
He's doing something now, I think, based out of Houston.
Yeah, it's pretty low rent.
Yeah, it seems pretty low rent.
He's one step away from looking for a trade-in value.
Danny, when did you intern down there? Because I wonder if we overlapped at all. I know you're a couple years younger than me, but...
Yeah, so I was... I graduated college in 09, so summer of 07, summer of 08. This was my sophomore and junior year. So sophomore was on Salisbury and Rosenblum, and then junior year was Mac, Yurko, and Harry.
I was fall 06 to about the Super Bowl 07, so I just missed you.
Just missed, yeah. But yeah, the Sean Salisbury, Steve Rosenblum experience, it was It was an entry into professional radio. I was like, man, this is big market radio. And then he was never there because I thought Sean was funny, and obviously football is king in this town, but he didn't have a Chicago connection.
Yeah. One day we'll put a log on the fire and tell some Sean Salisbury stories. Sure. Real juicy ones.
Yes, some juicy,
juicy
ones?
Juicy, as juicy as the hips of Ad Wilson.
Man. So you did the one-year internship, I assume, right?
I went 6 months. It was supposed to go 4 months. But the Bears in 1985 went on a tremendous run.
They were a good team.
You might have heard about this.
Yeah, they were a good team.
And the intern who was replacing me was a total fish, and Chuck wouldn't let me leave. I was supposed to start my first job as a sports writer for a peripheral paper, my hometown paper, the Hammond Times. And he said, could you hang on just a little bit? I really don't want to go into January with Steve.
Okay.
My last day was the NFC Championship game, January 12th, 1986.
Wow. Couldn't stick around for the Super Bowl.
Bears, they were going to take me to New Orleans. And then when that backfired, I said, I'm going to the newspaper.
Good for you.
I'm going to start my job. If I ain't going to New Orleans, I'm
gotta
going
get
to start
paid.
My job.
Yeah, of course. We got to get Swerskin here at the end of the season. That's a great idea
I'd
by Lawrence.
I'd be happy to.
It'd be fun to hear him, the stories from the other side, what you were like as an intern back in the day.
I was 100% subservient.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that. You don't develop the ego until you have a reason to have the ego.
And Dave Ennett was on the staff as well.
Sure.
And Hub Arkush was on the staff.
Awesome. Man, all-star lineup over there. My intern...
Which part of that?
Yeah, hey, well, it's to be determined, I guess. Can't do it at 3 o'clock. I was the Monday, Wednesday, Friday intern for you, and Tuesdays and Thursdays was Sahadev Sharma.
Yeah, those were the glorious days, man. Those were the days when an afternoon show could spend $150 on lunch and not worry about it. Danny, go down to Petarino's, okay?
Go to Smith and Walensky.
Yeah, Smith and Walensky, Harry Carey's, all the fine restaurants. These days, we're on a Subway budget.
That's right, yeah, little Jimmy John's. I was like, wait a minute. I can get something from the steakhouse for lunch? This is incredible.
We always paid for your lunch.
Always. Always. You guys were great. Yurko needed the Creplock soup. Harry needed the large hot chocolate. I think you
and
needed
a bottle of tequila.
Yeah, yeah, and a couple of tequilas. You needed two coffees. You would always pick up the tab for lunch, and then Yurko would ask me to give him a back massage, a shoulder massage.
I carried Harry's radio flyer full of coins from that bet that you and Yurko had made.
Did
that was
you
my
really?
Last day as an intern, ironically.
Oh,
not because of
God.
That, but this happened to be.
That's amazing. Do you know the story?
No.
Now, Danny, tell the other part of that story. Don't sit
What's
it out here.
What's the other
here.
Part?
The other part. What you didn't get. If
oh,
you didn't carry the coins.
A tip from carrying money 3 blocks.
He had a dolly, a truck full of coins. Yurko paid Harry $2,000 in coins. Yurko and I both lost a bet. We gave Tynowitz 10-1 odds that Rex Grossman would not start every game for the Bears that year. $200 play. Because he was going bad.
Yeah.
And Lovie Smith kept putting him out there.
Rex is our quarterback.
Rex was our
quarterback.
So Yurko and I both lost $2,000. I paid him in singles and fives. Yurko paid him in change.
Just to be
so
jackasses.
Tammy had to trek
me,
down
Me and there was another guy's first day. And he's like, is this how it is every day? I'm like, I don't know, man. Let's just get this over with. Huh?
$2,000 in coins.
In a radio flyer. In a radio flyer wagon down Michigan Avenue.
Oh, my. It's unbelievable.
It was in a wagon? I thought you guys at least got a dolly.
No, so I think it was a radio flyer wagon, yeah.
It's amazing that they don't let us have interns anymore. Is it stories like this? We'll hear Tandy's Open coming up. We're a little over an hour away from Can't Do It, and we'll talk some baseball. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.